opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Good morning, Jefferson.
Right in your soul.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Ready to go. Are we? We are.
I don't know. I don't know.
Any day
maybe
we can,
bushy-tailed.
Any day we can breathe in and out and have our liberties and freedom, we're good.
Well, that's true. Here we are. It's Terry Raposa and my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well.
We are broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading. 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. KCNR has been on the air for over 10 years now.
10 years.
Well, just over.
I was a mere child.
10 years and a few months, so, which is really neat. If you have any questions or comments, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567. And, a lot of interesting things going on these days. a lot of interesting things. Yeah. I know next hour, Jerome Corsi will be on Sovereign Minds for the first hour, and they'll be discussing a lot of things nationally. We will be discussing things locally and to do with the state of Jefferson. Yesterday there was a rally at the corner of Cypress and Dana, a bunch of folks to reopen Shasta County. I would say about 80 out there, which was actually pretty good when you stop and consider that there was about a 72-hour notice on it.
And were they all 6 feet apart?
No.
Wearing masks?
No.
And ventilators and all that other good stuff? Tanks?
No. And the week before, there was another rally that brought in 300 people, which was kind of neat. So a lot of people standing up. I mean, you know, the executive order, not the executive order, but the state of emergency, which never really was one because it never rose to that occasion. And the guests we have coming on here in just a few minutes will explain all that. So yeah, we were kind of duped, but you can't really blame the boards of supervisors in the counties when you're a board of supervisor and you're giving erroneous projections that are saying, hey, you know, like for Shasta County, the worst case scenario that, and this is what these guys got, was 126,000 people being infected by this thing. Well, you got 190,000, you got 126,000 affected. So, you know, that's what you're being told. It just wasn't the truth. Do we call that mistruth? Do we call that?
Lying.
Oh, that's what we call it. Okay.
Lying. Point blank. Something we don't tolerate from our children, let alone we're tolerating it from adults and people who are supposed to in public service. Unacceptable behavior. Non-negotiable.
Yes, sir. And in fact, we had a board of supervisor from Placer County, Kirk Euler, who had an interesting thing happen to him. The Board of Supervisors in Placer County, of course, they did go along with all the misinformation because
in the beginning, like everybody
that's all
else,
they had.
Yep,
you know, can't blame them. But they changed their mind. So they sent a letter to an email. He sent an email to the governor's office. And when he sent that email out, he stated that, you know, the state of emergency to rise to the state of emergency, which is Emergency Services Code Section 855-8B, the governor can only declare a state of emergency under certain circumstances, and that is that the epidemic or the threat is beyond normal range and that the threat is beyond the resources of the county. Well, Mr. Euler wrote back to the governor's office and said, you know what? We have 668 beds just in one of our hospitals. And we have 8 COVID cases, 668.
Well, that was between 2 hospitals.
It was?
Yes.
I thought he said that was just on the southern end, but you could be right.
Between 2 hospitals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have, and so 668 minus 8 equals 660. Also, he was concerned about the fact that the healthcare workers were being laid off. Now, why would you lay off workers when you have to have
everybody
services,
yeah,
all hands on deck?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he questioned that, and he said, you know, we're going to reopen. We've got 8 cases, and this thing's been going on for, you know, for months. Well, the governor's office wrote back, and the comment that was made was really interesting. They actually wrote back, and they called, and the gentleman who wrote back from he's the director of the government's governor's office of emergency. His name is Mark Ghilarducci. It's G-I-L-E-R-D-U-C-I. And he actually wrote back to Kurt and told him that because of his rhetoric, you know, the way that that he talked to them,
mm-hmm,
basically, they could withhold any kind of disaster funds from Placer County.
So he hurt their feelings.
He hurt their feelings, so now they're going to punish the county if there's a fire or something and hold back disaster.
He challenged them.
He did, and it was a lot of fun. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, Mr. Ghilarducci is probably not, you know, I mean, he didn't study rocket science, obviously. He called out Mr. Euler, you know, by name, basically threatened him, saying, hey, you know, the way you talk to us, this could cost your county any kind of emergency because we don't like the way you talk to us. I don't know. It almost sounds like, I don't know.
Retaliation.
No, maybe a little bit different than that. Not extortion, but...
Oh.
Gee whiz. I mean, it's almost like, hey, you talk to us nice or else.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. I mean, you know, and that's what, and this guy put it in writing. I mean, so anyway.
Tit for tat on a grand scale.
Yeah. So Mr. Euler put this out on Facebook, and he put it out on video. And within about 24 hours, he got somewhere in the neighborhood of, oh, I would say, 138,000 hits. He went ahead did mention to the director of the government's office for emergency, he was happy that his name was put in this email, and he was going to make sure that maybe Mr. Barr saw it, Attorney General Barr. And then the next, within a matter of hours, the governor changed his mind on some certain things and started to call all these counties or email all these counties saying, gee whiz, you guys can open a phase two now.
Yeah.
Of course, that's phony, too. And we're going to talk about a lot of the phoniness here.
Why don't they just release the hounds and just open everything up?
Well, that's true, because the executive order is over.
Yep, has been for how many days now?
Well, he just signed a new order on May 4th. It's Executive Order 260. It keeps things in place, but it's not a state of emergency. So
right.
How much water does that hold?
Zero.
Zero. Okay. Anyway, with that, we're going to bring on our guest real quick here. Peggy Hall, how are you, ma'am?
Good morning, Peggy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Doing well. How about you?
So far, so good.
Doing good. What we're going to do is we're going to just ask you a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to go to a break, an early break, so we can have you elaborate on that great video you did. I believe it was called For No Good Reason.
There we go.
And it was great, the things that you said about, you know, about our liberty and about the fact that we need to be open and, you know, how erroneous this whole thing has been. Not to say that COVID isn't real, but the state of emergency is erroneous. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am probably a lot like you. I am a person who loves freedom, liberty, and above all, truth. So I really was kind of thrust into this whole situation because I could not believe what I was seeing with my own eyes. I recently turned 60 years old. I lived out of this country for a few years in Morocco, so I know what an oppressive government is like. And I know what it's like to be stopped while you're driving from city to city, to be asked for your papers, and to be asked why you are going to a city, who you are going to see, and by what right you have to travel. So I've lived under oppressive governments. And when I saw what was happening here, I started to dig deeper. That's what I do. I have been an investigative reporter for many years. My background actually is in education. I was the director of teacher professional development for the University of California, Irvine. I currently am a college instructor, and I've also been a health educator for over 20 years. So the intersection of education and health and freedom, I mean, that is exactly the pool where I swim. And I have written many dozens, if not hundreds, of articles in health magazines over the years, interviewing, researching. I know how to find, you know, data and credible sources that have to be fact-checked. So when all of this information was coming out, and I thought, who is fact-checking this? Where does this come from? I begin to dig deeper. I also was the National Health and Wellness contributor for the ABC Radio Network for about 7 years, speaking on topics like this, controversial topics about health, about vaccines, about freedom, about prescription medicine, and other things that I saw encroaching on our own God-given rights. The government does not give us rights. The government is supposed to protect our rights. And when I saw that, I could not stay silent.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yes, I was the national wellness expert for an Emmy-nominated television show that was called America Now with Lisa Gibbons and Bill Rancic. And I have over 100 episodes on television. So I am no stranger to digging deeper on stories, to researching and presenting information. And my goal is to educate people and then inspire them to take action. So I thank you for bringing me on to do those two things.
You bet, Peggy. We're going to go off to a break real quick. And, again, next hour we'll have Jerome Corsi on live at 10 o'clock. And, Peggy, hang on. This is a woman who says she has a curious mind, and I found that absolutely wonderful, a great thing to say. You know, I'm just someone with a curious mind. I want to dig into this a little deeper about our liberty. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, so Peggy, hang on. Folks, time has come.
For 51.
Need to get it done.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Well, you know, about destruction. Don't you know that you can count me out?
Oh, yeah.
Revolution.
Yes. Talking about revolution and a curious mind.
Curious mind. We like
Peggy
curious
Hall
minds.
Here. And Peggy, what we'd like to know is, first of all, explain to people what you found out. And in the analysis you gave with Orange County on, you know, what a state of emergency is supposed to be and how we never really qualified for that anywhere, maybe you could go in and elaborate on that a little bit if you would.
Yes, you said it exactly, Terry. I live in Orange County, California. Orange County is the third largest county out of our 58 counties in California. We have approximately 3.3 million people. That is larger than a lot of states in our union. And that is a huge amount of people. And from the get-go, I started tracking the numbers. Anyone can do this. And you go to your own county board of health. I mean, thank goodness for the internet. We can actually go and look. And let's set aside for a moment the murky numbers. And what I mean by murky is that they change because they need to be these are provisional numbers that once they are looked over, sometimes they're found that the cause of death wasn't actually related to COVID. Let's set that aside and just look at the data that we have. I looked at the numbers today, and in out of 3.3 million people, there have been 86 cases that have been contributed to COVID-related causes. As you say, this is a disease. I've spoken to physicians. I'm not calling this a hoax. I don't think it doesn't believe. I'm not saying that I don't believe it. People do die, but the numbers that are dying are nowhere near the numbers that were projected. Why is that important? Here's why. The California law, which is called the Emergency Services Act, it was first written in 1950. It was updated in 2015. It spells out three conditions, three times you can have a state of emergency. I'm sorry, a state of emergency, a local emergency, and also there could be a state of war. So this was a state of emergency that was called. So I looked at that language, and it's spelled out, and that is called Section 8558B of the Emergency Services Act. And the summary is basically a state of emergency can only be called if the threat of this emergency overwhelms the current resources of the state. There are conditions such as air pollution, fire, flood, storm, epidemic, riot. I like the earthquake or volcano. So this was not called because of a volcano or a labor controversy, but it was called because of an epidemic. That sent me to say, what is an epidemic? And the definition I found, and this is in also the CDC and the WHO, although I don't follow their recommendations, but to get an agreed-upon definition of epidemic is the outbreak of a disease or illness that is beyond the normal range. That's more than typically expected. So that made me say, well, what is a typical contagious disease? And, you know, tuberculosis is not quite the same because I believe that's a bacterial. I haven't studied that. But flu is a contagious disease, and we know that in Orange County in California, we have had flu cases in the past that led to deaths. So I looked at those numbers for the basis to see what could our state handle in terms of an influx of patients going to emergency rooms for a contagious disease. And, Terry, the reason I point this out is because people have said to me, Peggy, COVID is a new disease. How are you comparing COVID to the flu? And here's why. I'm comparing it on the basis of what can our health resources and our infrastructure handle, because that's the language of the law. It says that the magnitude of the threat, and I quote here, the magnitude of the threat is likely to be beyond the control of the services, personnel, equipment, and facilities of any single county, city, county or city, and it would require the combined forces of mutual aid in a region in order to combat this. To me, Terry, this is the linchpin. This is the bottom card of the House of Cards. And when I pull out that bottom card, it all comes tumbling down. How do we know if it threatens the resources of the state? Well, again, we look at evidence. the evidence shows that hospitals are being shut down. I spoke to a critical care doctor yesterday from Hoag Hospital, a very well-known and had a good reputation here in Orange County. They were on the verge of bankruptcy because they had to lay people off, not only the medical staff, but all of the administrative staff, because they were no longer able to see patients as they normally did. Therefore, and you can look at this up and down the state of California, there have been thousands of healthcare workers that have been furloughed or laid off. There have been clinics that have been closed. Therefore, based on evidence, not my opinion, based on evidence, there is no threat that overwhelms the resources of the state. Now, we can quibble about the numbers. I looked at the numbers today, and actually I was using the number of 6,000 in California for typical flu mortalities, people that died of the flu in California. It's actually 6,900. It's closer to 7,000 if we want to be specific. Again, the actual number doesn't matter. We could have had 8,000 COVID fatalities in California, and if it didn't overrun the resources of the state, there still would be no state of emergency. We could have triple the number of flu cases, and what is our indicator? Only if it threatens to overrun the resources of the state. Why is this important? Because that gives the governor control of all of the medical, the health care and resources.
Right.
And that is where I believe he made his error
in
doing that.
Peggy, we're going to have to go off to a break really quick. But what, Heidi, you're on the phone too, right?
Yes, this is Heidi.
From Freedom Angels. If you could mute your phone there, because we're getting a little feedback, and then we'll bring you on after the break. But what I want to do is just add something in for both you ladies. By the way, Heidi, this is Peggy. Peggy, this is Heidi. Heidi, Peggy.
Virtual introductions.
Yeah. Anyway, what I want to do is just throw something out there, and I want you guys to think about this during the break, and then we'll talk to each one of you. Kurt Euler, who is a board of supervisor in Placer County, this sort of goes along with what you were saying, Peggy. They wrote an email to the governor saying that basically, you know, we understand why originally we shut down our county. We shut it down because the numbers we were given, you know, was showing like 50, 60% of our county was going to get this stuff. The numbers ended up being erroneous. And as Peggy just said, everything that's happening now does not raise to the level, nor never did really, to the state of emergency. So Board of Supervisor Euler did is he wrote an email to the governor saying, you know, we have 668 beds in our hospitals. We have 8 COVID patients. So the emergency doesn't overwhelm our resources. We have tons of resources, so we'd like to open our county. Well, there was a little more to it than that. It was a little longer than that. I won't go into it. But what happened is that he was written back by Mark Ghilarducci, who is the director of the governor's office of emergency, and told and called out Kurt by name, Mr. Euler by name, and said, you know, we don't really appreciate your rhetoric. In fact, you could be jeopardizing any future disaster relief funds because basically of your rhetoric. Well, he got a hold of that. I mean, that sounds a little bit like, a little bit like, dare I say, blackmail? I mean, some people could construe it as that. Yeah, extortion, exactly. And so anyway, what happened is that this email came back, and Kurt went on YouTube and on Facebook, et cetera, and also went to Attorney General Barr, and he got 138,000 views within about 15 hours. And miraculously, 13 counties were given the green light that night. I believe it was May 11th, that night, that they could open a phase two. And we all know the phases are bogus. But I want your feedback from each one of you when we get back. We've got to go off to a break, and then we can go a little bit longer. So, ladies, if you stay with us, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Get up, stand up for your rights. drop the mic.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
The music for this, Rally Sally, and I'm trying to get the message on this. It sounds like I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do when I get home.
You have to work in the yard.
I guess. I'm not sure if it's that or I'm not sure of it. Good girl, baby. Good job.
Well done,
Rally Sally. Okay, anyway, Heidi and Peggy, you're both back. And Heidi, I'd just like to, before I get the response on what we talked about just before the end of the just leading into the last break, I'd like you to tell folks about the rally that is happening on May the 23rd. So could you share that with us, Heidi?
Yes, thank you, Terry. So
sure.
On Saturday, so 6 days away now, we are all going to the Sacramento Capitol. It is a Saturday, a Memorial Day weekend, so hopefully people have a little bit of extra time to get there. The event starts at high noon, though I know people will be coming early. We have speakers and musical guests coming from all over, and we are so excited to celebrate with everybody our freedom being together. We're going to be honoring veterans and those local heroes. In fact, we are very excited to be welcoming the mayor and the city council of Atwater, California. As you know, just 2 days ago, they declared themselves a sanctuary city for small businesses and opened immediately by unanimous decision of law enforcement, the city council, the mayor, the community, the churches. It was phenomenal to be there.
Do you know what county that's located in, Heidi? What county that city is located in?
So it is open, it is located in Merced County, which is not fully open yet. There was Board of Supervisor members present to witness it, and of course they are pressuring on both sides, but the town is committed. They know that they are on their own. They know that the county could shut off funding. They know that the state could shut off funding, but they also know if they are allowed to open business themselves as a city, the city will take care of each other. They have drawn a hard line.
We will not
be pushed around.
What we want to do for both you ladies is, and I know you're both good at research, and the nice thing is what I'm going to give you here in a moment is just a paragraph each, but they could be the two most important paragraphs that either one of you have, especially with where you guys are going and how you both have stood up and been amazing, amazing patriots, you two ladies. And the rest of the Freedom Angels, Denise and Tara, just, you guys are just amazing people. United States Code, Title 18, Code Section 242. United States Code, Title 18, Code Section 242. That would be a criminal code, basically, in that under the color of law, anybody using that, whether it be a board of supervisor, a health department official, or a police officer, if they're stopping you from your constitutional rights in any way, shape, or form, it's a felony. And they can be arrested for a felony, and that felony is up to 10 years. That's one. Two would be United States Code, Title 42. That's United States Code, Title 42, Code Section 1983, which allows you, by law, to sue any official, any state agency, and this includes the agency that the official works for, that obstructs you from any constitutional rights you have. And also look up Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, which says that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and the state of California is an inseparable part of that. What that says is that basically all the anything in the United States Constitution trumps, no pun intended, the state, which means that there's no way anybody can stop you from your First Amendment, your Fourth Amendment, and your 14th Amendment rights, and also your Article 4, Section 4 rights in the Constitution. So with that, you guys both might already know that, but we've been educating a lot of people, especially the 3,000 that went out to the Cottonwood Rodeo, which was fantastic. But what I'd like now is, Peggy, first, could you give us a little feedback on what we talked about as far as what you think about Supervisor Euler and his stand and maybe a verification of all that?
Absolutely. I saw that video. I believe that he took the right action by expressing basically what I did in my video regarding the law. I saw the videotape of him speaking to his county board of supervisors, he's a supervisor, expressing exactly as I did that this is unlawful and invalid. And I would like to say one more thing about the county board of supervisors that some people may not know. They are the ones that have the oversight of the local health officer. So the local county boards can issue orders, and this happened in right after 9/11, there was new law that was inserted into the California Health and Safety Code, which is another set of laws that govern what's happening right now.
That was in 2015, right? 2015.
That's right. And okay. What this used to be just to maintain if there was a hazardous waste spill, what should be done to protect people. Then it got completely expanded to include these contagious diseases. This is very new. This is new territory that we are in. And I also want to say what Heidi was saying, that by not having the threat of money being withheld from the governor, what about opening the counties and allowing the own economic engine to get going? Wouldn't that be better? Why should we be so dependent on these federal funds coming? And the county board of supervisors is the one that needs to rein in these local health boards. And the sheriffs are the ones that are charged with enforcing these laws. And as we saw in the county of Riverside, they are not going to enforce these laws. He said exactly as you did, in different words, Terry, that he cannot prevent people from, you know, earning a living and feeding their family and depriving them of their right to life, which is also in our California code, our California Constitution. And that's probably Article 1. I don't have it in front of me. But that was also allows for that. So I applaud what Supervisor Euler is doing. I think many people are going to stand with him. I think the counties need to stand together. And the law that I found today said that after 7 days, the Board of Supervisors is the one who renews or terminates these local orders. So now we're into the place of local orders, since the state of emergency, we know, de facto has expired, although the governor is not stating it as such. Now it becomes a local orders for each county, which is why he is so-called allowing each county to open up on their own. He's not allowing anything. This is California law. Public health is a local issue. It should have been handled as a local issue from the beginning. It should not have been a state of emergency. Each local county can ask for help from other counties. The entire thing was handled and mismanaged. Some will say by design. That's a very interesting conversation to have. And the result of what has happened is now it's gone back to the counties making their own orders, and those orders are overseen by the Board of Supervisors. I recommend that everyone go to their Board of Supervisors meeting, speak at the meeting, contact your individual supervisor and everyone on the board, and educate them as to these laws, that they are the ones that can pass resolutions to terminate these unlawful and invalid orders that are crushing our economy, and not only the economy, but the health of our citizens. Number one indicators, as a health educator, I will tell you, number one health indicators include your mental and emotional well-being.
Yes.
Everything falls from that.
Yes.
They have gone the complete opposite way to handle this issue.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, and that's so true. And, you know, Heidi, I know that each one of you ladies, yourself and Tara and Denise, are all in different counties. And I know that, you know, you have different boards of supervisors in that. And everything that Peggy's saying is spot on. The only thing is that, you know, I know one of our supervisors here in Shasta County have even said that you can't have a wedding. It's gotten crazy. I had a call from Trinity County yesterday saying, oh, you know, our board of supervisors won't allow us to do our fair July 31st. Well, why not? See, the whole thing, and Peggy, you said this earlier in the program, the whole thing really is and truly is about the money. Now, I'm trying to figure out how a state can dictate and withhold federal funds. I mean, there's just so much wrong with all of this. And one last thing I want to share with Heidi. We did find out from the upper echelon of the Highway Patrol that the order for when we did have the rally down there on May 1st, that order, as you know, did come from the governor. And according to this highway patrolman, well, highway patrol, he's one of their executive officers, the quote was, get those people off my
blank
fornicating lawn. That was his quote. But anyway, Heidi, how are things going with the Angels, and what are you looking at as far as what kind of turnout are you beginning to see happening for? And Peggy, it would be great if you could come down to the rally.
She's in the south.
I know.
I've got that in the works, and I will follow up and confirm. I
That'd
think
be
it would
great.
Be amazing.
That'd be great, because we'd love to meet you, and we'd like to get both you ladies on some other radio programs we have throughout the state, and
Absolutely.
Some other things, because I mean, it's just been great to see people understanding that their liberty, well, it's not great that their liberty has been taken away, but it's great to see people starting to stand up right now. But we have to have a direction, and we've got to stay the course. We can't go off in 18 different rabbit trails. We've got to make sure we stay the course. The course is liberty.
And also keep in mind, too, on that event on the 23rd, that as it stands right now, the fence is around the Capitol building. So we're going to be out on the sidewalk on the city street still. So people are probably going to be driving their rigs around the Capitol. People are going to be picketing and gathering on the public city streets. So all those things are going to be happening. And en masse, people are going to be coming together and supporting one another and supporting the movement of taking our state sovereignty back.
Now, Chris Ann Hall is going to be there. And Chris Ann is, I would say, her and Mark Baird are probably the two most educated constitutional speakers in the United States, without a doubt. Both of them have the ability to speak about the Constitution, to educate people. But not only that, they have the ability to make something that's complicated or even almost ambiguous to sound simple.
Mm-hmm.
They have that ability, both of them. What we're going to do is go off to a break here so we can keep you two on. If you can stay on through the final end of the program, I'd like to get a few more thoughts or anything either one of you'd like to add. So is that okay? You ladies want to hang with us?
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Yep. Thank you, ladies.
Okay. So with that, time has come, my friend.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Have to ask Sally what's up with the music. Anyway, yeah,
maybe your other wife did that.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, it was Sue.
It was Sue. Sue did that.
Thank you, Sue.
That's our producer, Sue.
She's okay.
Say hi, Sue.
Good morning.
She's great. Anyway,
chuckling in there.
One quick thing, really quick, and I want to get your response on this, both you ladies. So I'm going to say this very quickly. We keep dancing around looking for the silver bullet. The silver bullet is representation.
Amen.
If we don't have representation and we aren't represented and our rights aren't represented and the people that represent us can't do it adequately because you have one senator in California for every million people. You have one assemblyman
for
every
500,000. We need to start off by firing all of them.
Yeah, first of all.
Well, not all.
But there's not enough.
Ours, anyway.
Originally in California, we had one assemblyman for every 5,000 and one senator per county. In fact, it was around that, at least with the Senate, until 1964. But I won't go into all that. Mm-hmm. But the first thing we need to do is have representation. Without that, nothing matters.
Correct.
Number two, we have to protect the Second Amendment. If we don't have the Second Amendment, we can't protect the rest of our God-given rights. Number three, when we do get adequate representation, we have to give the people who we put in office, in their defense, the opportunity to be able to represent their constituents. You can't be an assemblyman and represent 500,000 people.
Right.
But you can be an assembly and represent maybe 10,000 people. Point being is that we have to do these types of things, and also they have to be held accountable. As we know, the legislative body in the state of California is not accountable to the citizens. The governor, obviously, you both have pointed that out,
Amen.
Is not accountable. I mean, you know, the highway patrol making a point to where they can take young mothers and drag them up steps by saying that they weren't social distancing when none of those police officers or, highway patrolmen even had masks on. And they were all standing next to each other before then and yucking it up for 2 hours. You know, those kinds of things, we have to make sure that the people we elect and the people who are in agencies, which we have too damn many of, if you don't mind me saying.
573 of them.
There's way too many.
Yep.
Those people have to be accountable to the people. So what I want to do is get you two to weigh in on each one of those things, because, again, I think that we have to stay the course. We need representation, protection of the Second Amendment, and the responsibility, the accountability, and the ability to be able to represent as an elected official. So what say you, Peggy?
Yes, those are such excellent points, Terry, and I did not realize what you mentioned, that our representation has not grown with the state. We are the largest state in the country by far, 40 million people. The next closest is Texas with 30 million, and then 20 million with New York and Florida, and the others Many states don't even have a million people. We do need to have that representation. And here's my message. People forget that there are three co-equal branches of government in California. There is the executive branch, which is the governor, and the legislative body, our state assembly, and then there's the judicial branch, which is our court. They are co-equal branches of government, and you would not know it by the tyranny, and I use that word with a dictionary definition, which is government or power that does not have legal authority. These orders are not based on law.
Mm-hmm.
The executive orders are completely unlawful and have not been vetted by our legislative body. And not only that, but our state assembly has not even been called into session. There are countless examples across the country of legislative bodies that have terminated their state of emergency, and our Senate president will not even call a session. So here's what I recommend. My hashtag, my tagline is local and vocal. And you start with your city council members. You start with your HOA board. You educate them on what is going on because they are the ones that are either going to be calling to enforce these orders or not. And I also want to mention, regarding the public orders, they are misdemeanors in California. If you go to the beach and they told you not to, that can be a $1,000 fine. These are misdemeanors. It's like getting a large parking ticket. So, friends, do not be afraid of living your freedom. That's my message. Speak to your most local representatives. Get to your state senate. Senator, I've been calling all of the state senators outside of my district, asking them to contact Toni Atkins, she's the Senate president, and demand that she call a session to order. That is where we need to go. Now, I know, I understand the way that our government, the legislative body, is skewed in terms of Democrats. I understand that. But at least it will give a platform for those to speak, and there might be some action in terms of where we go next. So those are my thoughts there.
Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. It's local, state, fed. Oh, my.
Exactly.
I think you nailed it. And that's the way it's always been, and it has to be. Heidi, what say you, my dear?
I agree 100%. Localism is determinative. That's what Newsom actually has been saying, and it's the one thing we as Freedom Angels agree with him on. The thing that I love about our organization and what we've done is we're helping to empower mothers specifically, but anybody in general, to step up and be involved. For so long, it has been that politics is off the table and you disengage or you let the special interests do it or the big lobbying group. I mean, it's intimidating to walk in as a first time, children in tow. Are you wearing the right thing? Are your kids going to flip out? Like, what's going to happen? But no, the Capitol building, your district office, is there for the people. And you and your children can go in there together, let your presence be known. You don't have to be a part of any organization. You can, but you can also go in as an individual and say, no, I'm a mother, and I'm here standing up for my child and my child's future. It's because of Stephanie Duncan Fetzer, who's actually one of the co-founders of Freedom Angels. She's been running this for, the last 5 years or so, and emboldening to engage politically, locally, and, it's woken up tens of thousands of mothers across the state of California, and it's really exciting to be a part of it, and the movement just continues to grow, because now we are awake, we understand how the legislative process works, we understand how the Board of Supervisors work, we understand the role that the sheriff plays in your county. So education is key, and that it just starts with saying, yeah, I'm going to show up. That's the first step. Really easy. Kids in tow.
Both of you, on your websites, on your Facebook pages, everything, you can share this program. We archive up to 5 years. And, Sue, usually this thing is ready to be listened to, about an hour after we're done?
If not sooner.
So you can share this with anyone you know in the world, this program you both did today. And you two are what America's about, understanding liberty, educating yourselves, having that responsibility.
And not being afraid to speak up and speak your mind.
Amen to that, and not being afraid. And so you can share this all over the world. This has been an excellent program today. Our next program is going to have Jerome Corsi on live.
Mm-hmm.
The next hour, you may want to listen to that. Of course, you can go to your computer, go to K as in Karen, C as in Charles, N as in Nancy, and R as in Robert. Go to programming, and you can listen to this live and get on the chat room. And again, you also can hit the archive and listen to this program. And the program we had last week, you know, I think, was it Sovereign Minds or was it our program that you were on last week, Heidi? Do you remember?
I think I did both.
It might have been both. Well, see, the thing is you have accessibility to send this out
to everybody,
to millions of people.
Yep.
You know,
you capture the link and send it out. Yep.
You know, I mean, and you know, as we go on here and we you know are able to get these great guests we have, folks, these great liberty minded people on these programs as guests, you guys can send this out to everybody. And Peggy, I know this won't be the last time that we have you on. I would, you know, I'd love to meet you. I sure hope you can come up,
come up
to Sacramento. We're always used to going down.
I'll be in touch with Heidi. I'll be in touch with you off air, and we will talk more about this. That would be fantastic.
Hey, Peggy, I had an inquiry here. Excuse me. That people wanted to know how they can get in touch with you. Do they just follow you through Facebook, or how would you like people to contact you?
Well, I'll tell you, all this came about so suddenly. I've been frantically getting my stuff up so people can contact me. But they can go to Peggy Hall, my name, peggyhall.com, and they can put in a contact us, or they can sign up for, because I am a health educator, so I have health tips and so forth. On YouTube, the original video is under my Healthy American channel at YouTube, and the original title was State of Emergency in California is Unlawful. They can search that and my name. I know it has been mirrored. It has been sent out. It has been taken down. It has been re-uploaded, and I want everybody to copy it, share it. Many people have contacted me to ask because there have been broken links and video missing, so the original one is at Healthy American. State of Emergency is Invalid, Unlawful, and my name, Peggy Hall. And I do just want to leave one comment here, because I do need to say, while we mourn all of the losses of this COVID crisis, and I'm talking about the suicides, the people that are losing their jobs, I have had so many people tell me their stories, and I'm just in tears. My heart is breaking with the child abuse, the domestic abuse, the drug use, the loss of hopes and dreams and plans. Out of all, even though we mourn those losses, we celebrate the American spirit, which no illness, no disease, no crisis, no virus can ever extinguish. And that is what I'm fighting for.
Amazing. Heidi, I'm going to give you the last word here before I let you ladies go. You've got about 40 seconds. Probably 35 by the time I get done talking. Anyway, could you give the rally point again, please?
Yes. So, again, we are hosting Liberty Fest 2020 Saturday, May 23rd at the Sacramento Capitol, high noon. You can follow us on Freedom Angels Foundation at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Telegram. We would love to stay in touch. And we are going to be down in Marietta on Wednesday with Pastor Tim Thompson on his show, Our Watch. So we're going to be live, and it's a live audience. So anybody down in Southern California, come find us. It's posted on our Facebook page.
Well, Peggy and Heidi, amazing people.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being on. And remember, share this with your friends.
And enemies.
Yeah, even the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, ladies, have a great day, and I guess time has come.
Have a drink. I mean, for 51.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us, you have no clue, and still you're telling us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.